having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an obispo. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth.
The triumphant church, amen. Part 4, the triumphant church. Has the teaching been a blessing to you? The triumphant church. The triumphant church. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Glory to God. It truly has been an amazing journey. And we'll continue today. I hope to wrap up the teaching today. But if we can't, well, we'll push it into the month of June. Hallelujah. At least first Sunday of June we can have that. Amen. In fact, I still have a lot to say that can cover the whole month of June as far as the triumphant church is concerned. Hallelujah. But let's see how it goes. We can either compress it. Architect, good to see you. We can either compress it into total immersion. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I have one outstanding with you. A concluding part of the government of grace. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see what we can do about that. We'll look into the matter. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't belong to Stingy Men's Association. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, it's been an amazing journey. We began our journey from Matthew 16, 18, the triumphant church. The first thing we did was to dimension the church from the Bible, from the scripture. Okay, to really know what is the church. All right, is the church the gathering of nice people on Sunday who are on their way to heaven, who are praying, Lord, help me to make heaven? The answer is no. Amen. Glory to God. Is the church the congregation of sinners saved by grace waiting to be raptured? The answer is no. Nothing could be further from the truth. That is not God's idea of the church. And you see, every time you want to know what God thinks about any matter, get into the Bible. There are a lot of things we got from tradition, okay, that are not really truth. There's a difference between tradition and truth. Tradition, at best, is a dispensational vehicle to transport truth or to help establish truth in the hearts of people. But most times, people cling to tradition and leave the truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, you have made the word of God of none effect because of what? Your tradition. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes nothing may be wrong with the tradition, but know when to abandon tradition and face the truth. So there are many things we have gotten acquainted with that were communicated to us by the traditions of men. And it's very important we get into the Bible to really know what God says. It's amazing. There are people who quote phrases that are not in the Bible who still think those phrases are in the Bible. For example, somebody says, even the Bible says, heaven helps those who help themselves. And it'd be like, what portion of the Bible is that, bro? What portion of the Bible is that? I said, I don't really know where it is, you know. That's where people hide. I'm not sure. I know it should be somewhere in the Bible. Amen. Newsflash, it's not in the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The same with concept. You see, when we mention things, was it last Sunday or Tuesday? I was telling you about the word repentance. Because of the background of religion that many of us had had, and because of the reign of sin, let me put it that way, every time the word repentance is mentioned, somebody is thinking of sin. But you see, in the original, that word doesn't necessarily have to do with sin. Amen. It means to change your mind. It means to change your way of thinking. That's repentance. Because even God repented at different points in scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You remember in Genesis chapter 6 also, when wickedness was continually in the heart of man. The Bible says he repented God for creating man. And then he destroyed the whole world with a flood. Are we together? So it's very important, it was important for us to get into scriptures to know who the church is. And we did justice to that. Hallelujah. You can go and get the materials at the e-library. We dimensioned the church from scriptures, and the anchor scripture was this Matthew 16, 18 to 19. And I say unto you that what Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. That was the first thing we said. That the church is the church of Jesus Christ. The church belongs to God. The church does not belong to pastors or apostles. Amen. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. Are we together? The church does not belong to the devil. The church is somebody's property. Amen. He purchased us by his own blood. Hallelujah. And that means his jealousy is upon us. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. He says, I will build my church. You are somebody's property. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you were bought with a price. How do you know the value of a thing? You look at what is used to pay for that thing. That shows you your value. That means we are valuable. Amen. It cost God the blood of his precious son to get us. We are valuable. That means we're as valuable as Jesus to God. Write that somewhere. And this is why your true sense of self-worth must come from the scriptures. You don't measure yourself. Your sense of security must come from the word of God. Are you here? Your sense of security must come from what Jesus did. This was what God used to pay for you. That's remarkable, isn't it? And that's very important. As you do life every day, as you do life from Monday to Sunday, remember this, that you were bought with the price. Remember this, that God's price on you was his precious son. That's remarkable. Hallelujah. So you don't sell yourself cheap. Glory to God. So you don't just compromise easily. Glory to God. So you don't rate yourself based on what somebody told you, based on what your background told you, based on where you grew up, based on the family you came from, based on the village you came from. Glory to God. And by the way, currently you are from the village of the gospel. Hallelujah. The heavenly Jerusalem. Glory to God. That's your village. Hallelujah. It's actually a city. It says you have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have arrived in Zion. Zion is not when you get to heaven. No, that song says we are marching to Zion. So in dimensioning the church, you show that the church is the church of Jesus Christ, purchased by his blood. I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. What's the second thing we see? He says the gate of hell shall not prevail. The gate of hell shall not prevail. So the church is an advancing force. The third thing we see was what? The church is governmental, not religious. Verse 19. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And we're going to dwell on that today. Amen. In another way. Hallelujah. We also talked about the DNA of the church. The apostolic DNA of the church. Okay. And last week we discussed the cross as our victory. Hallelujah. Discussed the wisdom of the cross. The cross is our victory. Glory to God. We are victorious because of what Jesus did on the cross. We are victorious because of his death, burial, and resurrection. The Bible says all that God promised our fathers, he fulfilled in that he raised Jesus from the dead. That means the day Jesus was raised from the dead, that was the testimony of the fulfillment of God's promise to you. So Holy Ghost is not owing you something. Holy Ghost, you owe me something. We'll see anointing. No. Something like that. The evil boy is laughing at me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not owing you nothing. He has fulfilled in that he raised Jesus from the dead. This is why, as a Christian, every day must be rejoicing. Because all things are ready. All things are accomplished. Glory to God. So what are we doing? That we are working out what has been accomplished. Hallelujah. That is the journey of the believer on the earth. We are working out what has been accomplished. Yes. Hallelujah. And today I'll be talking on understanding strategic spiritual warfare as the triumphant church. Hallelujah. Let's talk a little about spiritual warfare. Amen. About spiritual warfare. Are you ready for this? All right, so give me verse 19 now. Verse 19. And I'll read Ephesians 6 from verse 12. And I'll read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We'll read the other scriptures afterward. Are you ready? Let's talk a little about spiritual warfare. Because the triumphant church must understand spiritual warfare. Now, my teaching today will not be exhaustive. We'll look for another time. to do exhaustive teaching on spiritual warfare. Maybe I'll add it somewhere in total immersion. By the way, 14th or so, I think the public holiday is 14th. 12th is a Saturday. So it has to be moved somewhere else. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It says, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Remarkable. Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That means the church has authority to bind and loose. Hallelujah. To bind and loose. To bind and loose. Oh yes, we do. And that is warfare. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 6, very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My God. My God. My God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. He didn't say we wrestle not at all. No. He said, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means our adversaries are not humans. They may have human faces, but they are not the real adversary. Are we together? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law. Amen. Hallelujah. Your enemy is not that neighbor that frowns at you. Yes, of course, sometimes humans can provide accommodation and partner with Satan. We're going to get into that. But you must understand your arch enemy. You must understand your real enemy. You know, because of those human distractions, a lot of people have missed out on the real enemy. And it's very important. When Jesus gave the story of the farmer who planted good seed, and he says, while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares. What did he say? When he came, he was not confused. He didn't say, well, maybe it's my son who did this. Maybe it's my neighbor who did this. Maybe it's my servant who did this. He got the diagnosis correct. He says, an enemy has done this. Very important. And that is what Paul is trying to say. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against humans. Amen. Primarily, it's not against humans, but against principalities. Those are principals. Amen. Chiefs. That's what he's talking about. Strategists. We're going to get into that. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness. Wicked spirits in heavenly places. In heavenly realms. Now, he's not talking about the third heavens. He's talking about in the cosmic realm. Some translation puts it in the cosmic realm. Are you still with me? All right, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. We'll read down to 18. I take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. That's verse 14 now. Stand therefore. Having your loins girded with truth. Having the breastplate of righteousness. So he gives you the armor. The breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, glory to God. Just keep going. We're reading to 18. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Aye, thank you, Lord. The shield of faith. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Hallelujah. Verse 18. Hallelujah. And praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Can you see that again? We do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare. That means there is a warfare. This is Paul the Apostle of Grace teaching. That means there is a warfare. Glory to God. Paul believed in warfare. Hallelujah. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not man-made. They are not physical weapons. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge or the purposes or the counsel of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Hallelujah. Legally speaking, our obedience is fulfilled in Christ. And that is where the understanding of that verse must come from. Hallelujah. Are you here? Listen, the subject of spiritual warfare is very important to the new creation believers. Amen. Your understanding of new creation realities, if it doesn't cover understanding of strategic spiritual warfare, you will be a cheap prey for Satan. You'll be a cheap victim of the maneuverings and the manipulations of Satan. Are you here? Now, there are people who have erroneously taught and believed and practiced the disposition that Satan really is not a big deal. Okay? They act as though Satan is not the factor. And a lot of them are suffering for it. Hallelujah. They act as though demons, do they really exist? If they exist, they can't come close to me. I'm a new creation in Christ. Listen to me and listen very well. Nobody does mighty things with God on the earth without understanding and engaging spiritual warfare. Nobody, you can write it somewhere. Nobody does mighty things on the earth with God, as far as destiny is concerned, without understanding and engaging in spiritual warfare. Let's start with Jesus. Are you aware that Jesus did not act as though demons did not exist? Jesus recognized Satan as a worthy adversary, and he exercised his authority over the devil, definitely. Do you understand? He didn't pass by and there's a demon and say, no, they don't exist. I mean, they are not powerful. No. He has authority over them, and he exercised that authority. That's my point. But the fact that he had authority over them did not mean they did not try to operate around him. Do you understand? And he did not neglect the existence. He did not neglect the operations around them. A Christian is going through frank demonic oppression and obsession and all kinds of demonic influences. And because he thinks his sins are forgiven, because he thinks Christ has done it all, he's quiet. He's not exercising authority. That is not so smart. Are we together? So you understand what I'm talking about now? You must see Satan and his devils as adversaries. Don't act as though they don't exist. So Jesus did that. He exercises authority over devils and the cohorts of hell. And he told us to do the same. When he commissioned the apostles or his disciples, which includes us, he didn't give the impression that Satan was not a factor. In a way, of course, Satan is not a factor because he's been defeated. But there's something about the character, about the nature of devils, is that they are rebels. I'm going to get into that. Have it together. So Jesus treated him as an adversary. The apostles in the early church, in Acts of the Apostles, and in the epistles, gave us that same body language. That look, there's warfare. That look, Satan is an adversary, and you have to consistently put him where he belongs. Have it together. Very important. I know the subject of spiritual warfare has been abused and bastardized, but it's a scriptural reality. We will now have to get into scripture to know what the Bible says about it. There is spiritual warfare according to scriptures. You just read now, Paul says the weapons of our warfare is there. You can't remove it. Glory to God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, he says, but they are mighty through God. So there is warfare. There is warfare according to the scriptures. You forget the abuse. You forget, and people have done all kinds of things in the name of spiritual warfare. I'm going to unmask Satan and show his activities in this teaching. Glory to God. And show you from scriptures what the Bible teaches about warfare and how to engage it at personal level, at territorial level. Glory to God. Honestly, you'll be blessed. Just open your heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So warfare is not bringing Cain. I saw a video recently. They brought long Cain. I don't know how many of you saw it. They were flogging Satan. They were flogging Satan. Every enemy of that. So flogging them. That is foolishness going to rampage. That is not spiritual warfare. I'm aware of prophetic actions, but that does not fall within the jurisdiction of prophetic actions. Even when you engage in a so-called prophetic action, you must have scriptural reference. Amen. Don't just do funny things. They say, now put your hand like a gun. Are you ready? You are going to shoot every devil in your family. Begin to shoot. Oh boy, how did we get here? How did we get here? And in your minds, you are engaging in spiritual warfare. Listen, Satan is more intelligent than that. Are you here? The realm of the spirit has more intelligence than that. That's carnality. He says, shoot. Or bring broom and sweep all the garbages in your life, and let people are sweeping in church. Blessed Lord Jesus. How did this happen? So when we say spiritual warfare, those are some of the pictures that goes through people's minds. But that is not what we are talking about. That is not what we're talking about. At all is far from it. We're talking about dealing with truly with real spiritual entities. Spiritual personalities. On the basis of God's word. On the foundation of God's word. Standing on the word. With the understanding of God's word. Because the first area of warfare is the illumination of your mind with the truth of scriptures. Why? Satan is the prince of darkness. Satan rules when there is ignorance. That's the first layer of warfare. Glory to God. So he's standing on God's word and addressing real spirits. This is no joke. Are you here? Are you ready now? Now, somebody also may be saying, I thought you said Jesus has done it all. On the cross, he said it is finished. In fact, in the prophet, he says, your warfare is accomplished. Your warfare is accomplished. Comfort ye, my people. Comfort ye, my people. Isaiah says, for your warfare is accomplished. So, pastor, what spiritual warfare are you talking about? Well, there is warfare. And the reason is simple. Satan and his demons are rebels. And rebels are those who deliberately oppose constituted authority. Rebels are those who stand against powers, governments to oppose it and to disobey it. That's who rebels are. Why was Satan cast from heaven into the earth? Pre-Adamite. With his angels. The Bible says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought. Lucifer, or Satan rather, and his angels fought, and there was no more room in heaven for him, and Michael kicked him out of heaven. What was the reason? The writings of the prophets show us that the devil was rebellious in heaven. He led one third of the countable fraction of the angels in a rebellious move against God. That's what the Bible teaches. So he corrupted his nature, and one of the primary corruption or expression of that corruption is rebellion. Do you understand? Who are rebels? I need to understand this. Within the context of a territory, within the context of a government, a kingdom, rebels are those who oppose powers, who oppose government, who stand to disobey laws that are written. That's who rebels are. So Satan and his demons are rebels. You have to understand that. That means they know that they have been defeated. Legally, they know that their powers have been taken. They know they don't have legal right over people, places, and things. But because they are rebel, they try to exercise authority that they don't have. And this is the basis for spiritual warfare. So when you rise to reestablish or to establish the authority that is written, the judgment that is written, you are acting in your place as God's law enforcement agent. That is spiritual warfare. You remember the writings in Psalm 149 from verse 6. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Let the two-edged sword be in their hands. Let the praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hands. To execute punishment. It says to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people. Verse 8, quickly. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Verse 9. Look at this. To execute upon them the judgment, what? Written. He's talking about the saints. And he says, this is part of the ministry of the saints. To execute the judgment written. That means that judgment is written doesn't mean to be executed. Do you understand? This is warfare now. This is not trying to defeat the devil. He's been defeated. This is putting the devil where he belongs. This is putting Satan and his demons where they belong, along different areas, from personal, family, territory. We're going to get into that. That is spiritual warfare. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his sayings. Praise ye the Lord. To execute the written judgment. To execute the written judgment. So we are God's law enforcement agent on the earth. In your space, in your world, you are God's law enforcement agent. That's who you are. So I've given you two foundations for spiritual warfare. Number one, Satan and his demons are rebels. It's in their nature. They see the law, but they break it. It has been written. It's been written, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. That is an eternal law. But Satan will attempt to break it. He will try to touch you. But what do you do? You execute the written judgment. That is warfare. You say, no, it is written. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. So devil, pack your bags and get out of here. That is warfare. That is warfare. Are you here? Let's get into this here now. Now, if all you think about spiritual warfare is dealing with witches and wizards, then you are naive. Can we get into this thing now? If all you think about spiritual warfare is every enemy pursuing your soul, fall down and die. Every enemy opposing my business. Boy, that's the fraction of spiritual warfare. Remember, we're talking about the church. I remember we said that the church is apostolic. And one of the things I told you is that the apostolic DNA thinks territory. It thinks generation. Never forget that as long as we live. Very important. So to think that spiritual warfare is just narrowed to attacking witches and wizards, that happens. Or to cause every enemy of your soul, okay, that is stopping the money from coming to your hand, that is important. But that is at personal level. Listen, Satan has layers of interest on the earth. And that goes from territories, that is cities and nations, institutions, families, and individuals. Did you get that? There are different layers of demonic interest as revealed in scriptures. And those different areas of demonic interest shows you the different areas of spiritual warfare. Very important. And you cannot be unaware as a kingdom agent. No, you can't. Are you with me?
Yes,
are you still here?
Yes,
according to the scriptures, Satan is interested in territories as much as God is interested in territories. Satan is interested in cities and nations just as God is interested in cities and nations. There's a trickle-down approach that God has that we must also have as believers. Satan has it already. That means when you're coming to a city, there's a way to enter the city. God knows it. Satan knows it. When you're coming to a city, you don't look for a gate man to influence. You look for the governor to influence. Satan knows it. Are you here with me? And warfare is at those levels of interest. In Daniel chapter 10, something very remarkable happened there. Daniel chapter 10. You know, Daniel had been praying and fasting for 21 days. And then he was at the river Hiddekel. And he had a vision, a very profound vision. The Bible says an angel of the Lord appeared to him in that river Hiddekel. You can start from verse 5. And those that were with him heard nothing, but they were trembling. by the grand entrance of that angel, they went to hide themselves. And I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ophaz. Next verse. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lambs of fire, his arms, his feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude, one being. This is an angel. It was in a cherubic class. Next verse. He says, and I, Daniel alone, saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but great quaking fell upon them, and so that they fled to hide themselves. Verse 8. Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was torn in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Remember, he had been fasting. You can read from verse 1 to 4, he had been fasting. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his word, then was I in deep sleep on my face, with my face toward the ground. Verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my feet. Next verse. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. Verse 11, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, that is in fasting, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Many things to say from there, but let me bring your attention to two things. Number one, in fasting, what gets to heaven are your words, not the food you are not eating. Your words were heard, and I have come for what sake? For the sake of your words. Watch this. It says, from the first day that you began to pray, that you set your face to pray and to fast, I was released from heaven. Go to 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 121 days. 120 days. That's 21 days. The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Remember, Persia was world power. Daniel was in the kingdom of Persia. I need to follow me closely. The prince of the kingdom of Persia, I was talking about here, is not a human person. He's not a human personality. What human can fight this being that I just described, whose voice is like the voice of multitude? When he came, everybody fled. Daniel had no strength. He was on his face. He couldn't stand up. They were trembling. This was an angelic being. He was sent from the presence of God. He said, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. He was talking about a demonic personality. Are you with me? Now, Persia had a physical king. But behind the physical king was a territorial prince called the prince of Persia. Are you seeing this? Who withstood an angel? He wasn't talking about a king withstanding an angel. Are you kidding me? No, he was talking about this spirit being. When you read further, it's very clear. He said, "Lo, Michael, one of the chief princes." So he's dealing, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He talked about the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and he talked about Michael, one of the chief princes. The expression after there is first of the chief princes. He's an archangel. So Michael, first of the chief princes, came to help me. That means there were angelic cadres. Yes, until he came, I remained there with the rulers of Persia. So he's talking about spirit beings. The context of this warfare was territorial. It wasn't about Daniel. It was about God's counsel for the children of Israel. Do you understand? Remember, Daniel did not have the book of Daniel to read. We can see it now and learn that look. For territories, they are demonic princes. Are we together? The same thing with sectors. Why am I saying this? God sent you to take a sector. You have to be intelligent spiritually to know that there are spirits behind sectors, behind industries, behind physical cities. I've taught you here before. I'll go more into that in second service. Every city, every sector, every industry has a body, has a soul, and has a spirit. The body is the infrastructure and the people that you see in that space. But that is not all there is to the sector. No. Behind the body of every industry, every city is a soul. The soul is the prevailing mindset, the paradigm, their way of thinking, their way of operation. And that paradigm, way of thinking, what we call the soul, is sponsored from the spirit. And that is the spirit of the territory. You want to take a territory, you must engage the spirit to change the soul, then take the body. God sent me into politics. You will engage the spirit. Oh, am I talking to people this morning? He says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And Michael, one of your chief princes, came to help me. This angel was arrested by demonic power. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. I told you, the demons are rebels. Rebel forces. Do you find angel on the earth to fight? No, he's talking about in the realm of the spirit, in the cosmic realm. And he's not talking about the heaven where God dwells. No. Verse 14. I'm showing you, you see, in spiritual warfare, you are not dealing with a haphazard, unintelligent system. You are dealing with a highly organized, Satan has an organogram for operation. You are dealing with highly organized, intelligent, but defeated network. So you have to understand that. You have to understand that. You can see that layer of authority in this place playing out. So Michael came and saved him. Now I'm come to make thee understand, worship before thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Watch this. Watch out before your people. So the contention was about a territory. That's my point. This is why you cannot narrow spiritual warfare to Lord. No. That's a personal level. We are going to take spheres and influence people, influence the generation, shape culture. You must understand warfare at this level. A Christian submits proposal and they think it is the beauty of his proposal that will give him the contract. You are not intelligent spiritually. Others who came for that same space, consulted spirit, they are outsourcing spiritual assistance. And then you are not sure, you are just lackadaisic. No, you must understand how to use the realm of the spirit to your advantage. Do you understand? How to make decrees. And address spirits. You know, I have a friend in oil and gas then. He used to tell me, see, the demons there are not smiling. He was telling me a series of vision he had. Before he broke into his first tens of millions, the warfare. That's spiritually now. We're not talking about the fight not to bribe. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about people coming for you. And it happens in many spheres. It happens. You want to stand out. You want to take places. You must understand this. You must understand this. That demons and Satan is interested in territories, in cities and places and industry. In case you don't know, Satan is interested in fashion. He's interested in politics from before. He's interested in economy and commerce. In fact, that's where he sits. Hi. So you cannot say that warfare is not. It says something was trying to press me in the night. I stood back, commanded it to leave, and I had the victory. That is juvenile. That is juvenile. Amen. It's good, but it's juvenile. As you grow, as God begins to trust you with responsibilities, with visions, you say, oh, I have vision to help children, to help orphanage. You think that's natural. You think you can just go like that. Don't you think something killed their parent? And that thing doesn't want them to prosper. So a Christian goes to start an orphanage, just dancing until they come for him. He's not aware. He's not aware. Satan is interested in territories. He's interested in families. He's interested in institutions. He's interested in sectors, industries. And that your business is interested in it. That your field is interested in it. Now, the lack of understanding of the things I'm sharing is why Christians settle for crumbs. Because if you don't understand spiritual warfare in that your industry, all you'll be left you to be crumbs. Crumbs. There's an agenda. So you saw a spiritual force withholding an angel. And then Michael came to help him. Hallelujah. Watch out before thy people. Yeah, the vision is for many days. Read down. There's something I still want you to see. Keruba Kasaya. And when he has spoken to me such word, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. And behold, one like the multitude of the sons of men touched, of the sons of men touched my lips. And then he opened my mouth and speak, and lo unto him that stood before me, oh my Lord, my vision is so. Next verse is something I want you to see. For how can thy servant, the servant of thy Lord, talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Next verse, we're reading to the last verse. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He's talking about the angel, and strengthened me. And it's possible that angel came in convoy, very likely, amen, and strengthened me and said, oh man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. He's talking, I keep a liar. And when he has spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. How was he strengthened? When he spoke by words. When he spoke unto me, I was strengthened. I just wanted you to see things there. Verse 21. Then said he, okay, he said, but I will show you that which noted in the scripture of truth, and there's none that holdeth. That's the last verse. He said, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Michael your prince. Michael your prince. So there was the prince of Persia, but Michael was the prince of Israel. That means God assigns angels over territories. That's what I wanted you to see. God assigns angels over territories. He does. And we are his partners. You know, Prophet Isaiah talks about redistributing the desolate heritages. That's what he's talking about. That means you depose demonic princes. Listen, there are families that have principalities over them because of covenant that fathers made with demonic powers. And those demons have legal right through altars and covenant to exercise authority over those clans, over those families. What do? When you come as a kingdom envoy, you dethrone them and you appoint an angelic prince. I wanted you to see that. That's a territorial level. Paul says, I fought the beast at Ephesus after the similitude of man. He fought the beast. He was talking about the principality. Who do you think was tearing the people to shout and scream to the temple of Diana? And the whole place was confused. There was commotion. People were shouting without knowing why. Demonic spirit. They were so stirring that Paul had to go out of Ephesus with his team. It was a demonic spirit. The time he spent there, he broke the influence of that devil. And when he did that, the Bible says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. The word did not prevail by itself. He engaged in spiritual warfare. In your office, there's so much godlessness. You've been trying to preach to them. You've been trying to invite them to church. Engage in spiritual warfare. Begin to address the spirit that sponsors the soul, the behavior in that space. You see a change. Some of you in your families, their patterns, That's what we call the soul, their patterns. Those things are not happening by themselves. Because also God has plans for families. There are families that are prophetic. Oh, I've seen them. Everybody in the family has prophetic grace. There are families that have sound mystery, grace. There are families that have scholarly grace. There is book. It's not because their parents made them to read. It's a grace. It's an anointing. But see, those things, Satan can corrupt them. In the same way, you see families that are given to alcohol. Everybody is drinking. And you know something is wrong here. You see families that are oppressed by poverty. Nobody raises his head. That is not normal. That is not normal. You see families that love women. Everybody is just sleeping with everything. Are we together? So I want us to be intelligent. Those things are not, they are not just happening by themselves. As a deliverer, as a savior from Zion, as one with authority, as the triumphant church, you must understand this and know how to deliver people, deliver families, deliver offices, deliver sectors. You stand in authority, partnering with heaven, and bring freedom and liberty to places. Spiritual warfare. Are you here? The same thing with cities and different industries. There are industries you go to is divorce. Oh, you have not seen it. Observe. You know, one of the ways wisdom comes to you is by observation. He says, I considered it and wisdom came to me. Observe. There are cities where you go to is law for money. They can do anything. You hear what people do to get money, you'll be shocked. It's a spirit. Oh, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. That sponsors that soul, that sponsors that paradigm, that way of thinking for that territory is a spirit. You go to certain places, certain regions, is alcohol. They just drink. By morning, people are drunk already in large amount. That is no joke. It's a spirit that is sponsoring that, because demons and Satan is interested in territories, institutions, and families. Is not happening by itself. And you go to certain places, I won't mention the name of a city in this country, it is fornication. Outright crazy. There is a normal level of fornication in every city. That's what I'm talking about. This one is abnormal. With one Indomie, a reasonable girl can sleep with a man. Indomie and egg. If I in some places with nothing, I know what I'm telling you. When you hear that in those days, HIV incidence is very high in certain cities, it's no joke. You just amplified a lifestyle in the city sponsored by devils. Sponsored by devils. There are territories where people don't keep marriages. No matter how nice a man is, no matter how nice a man, something will jump upon him to abandon his wife and children, to go and stay with another in another woman's house. You've not seen? Observe. Those things are sponsored by spirits. They are sponsored by spirits. Sponsored by spirits. There are families where hard work is not the problem. No matter how hard they work, nothing comes out of it. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely. They are hardworking. They are good people, good character, well behaved, but nothing works. That's not normal. There are spiritual entities behind it. Oh, yes, they are. And learning to engage spirit at these different layers of interest. Different layers of interest is key in this spiritual warfare. Satan is interested in institutions. Have you noticed that the spirit of the Antichrist is always attached to palaces and kings? When you read through the Bible, and in recent time is the same. Because Satan understands the power of influence. He does. He does, and the church must wake up to that reality. He does. Who was Jezebel married to? Jezebel was a prophetic expression of the Antichrist spirit. according to the scriptures. You know where she was found? Beside the king. Beside the king. Beside the king. When the spirit of Elijah resurfaced again in the New Testament, in the person of John, Herodias, who was a daughter of Jezebel, found her way. She was married to the brother of the king, but she was not satisfied. She found her way, manipulated the man, and became Herod's wife until he beheaded John the Baptist. Have you noticed that? Let me show you a scripture in Acts 13 from verse 5. You know, Paul was in Paphos after they were commissioned into the apostolic ministry. Paul was in Paphos with his comrade, and something remarkable happened. He was talking to Sergio Paulus. Sergio Paulus was the deputy governor of that territory. Guess who was around Sergio Paulus? Elimas the sorcerer. A certain Jew, sorcerer, whose name was Bar Jesus. Bar Jesus, no Jesus, literal interpretation. Amen. Hallelujah. Bar Jesus. Elimas the sorcerer. Elimas the sorcerer. Why was he not with the gate man of the territory? Are you with me? Why was he not with a normal guy in the territory? He was with, the Bible says, and when they had gone to the Isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Next verse. Which was with the deputy of the country. They love the places of authority, so that they can short circuit. Because whether you believe it or not, the salvation of Sergio Paulus is not the same as the salvation of another normal guy in Paphos. God understands that. The church needs to start understanding that. It has a trickle-down effect. Satan also knows that confusing Sergio Paulus will have a trickle-down effect on the territory of Paphos. Than confusing a trader will not have in the market. A common trader in the market will not have. Is it because God does not love everybody? He does. But as far as earth is concerned, the will that powers the propagation of any agenda is influence. And that's why some of you with dreams to be influential pursue those dreams for Jesus' sake. Because that crown will be an instrument of worship. The kings came to cast their crown. If you don't have crown, what will you use to cast down? In worship. Do you understand? Pursue those dreams passionately, because you know what it means for the kingdom of God. All souls are the same, but the impact on the earth are not the same. We are not demeaning anybody's post. If you are maybe a security person here, that's just a beginning point. Don't die there. For a higher level of influence. Do you understand? Not say, no, I'm fine. God loves me. No. And don't feel bad for where you are. But have a vision to move forward. If you're security in the university, enroll for a course. Do part-time. Do a master's. Do your PhD. And there are many people that have done that. Because getting a VC of that school saved and filled with the Holy Ghost does not have the same impact as getting the security man saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Am I talking? It doesn't. It's not the same. Influence. He was with Sergio Paulus, the deputy of the country, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Watch this, verse 8. But Elimas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. Can you imagine? He withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You can see that the focus here was influence. The focus here was an institution of government so that he can have power and influence. And I love Paul too. Paul also understood that. Then Paul, who also is called Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So the pulling down of stronghold, casting down reasonings, casting down imaginations. And said, oh, full of all subtlety, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him in mist and darkness, and he went out seeking someone to lead him by the hand. He had run blind. That's warfare. That's warfare. It's no argument. No. That's warfare. That's warfare. That's warfare. But this warfare now is not every enemy pursuing my soul. No. This is contending for a soul of a man. In this case, a man in authority. Sometimes you can be preaching to somebody that you know they are being manipulated. Warfare. You bind the forces of hell, swaying their minds, and open their eyes to see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus, who is the image of the living God. Hallelujah. Watch this. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm out of time. Rise to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Your shout is very short. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You don't want to miss second service. You should follow online, even if you're going to leave. You don't want to miss it. Thank you, Lord.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.